Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's a new
experience. Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. It's Father's Day today, 2015. Woohoo! You know, I just remembered it was Father's Day probably about a half hour ago. And interestingly enough, the topic I chose, holding grudges, the cold shoulder, guess who I learned how to do that? My father. My father was the best grudge holder, not talking to you, silent treatment in the world. And I learned from the best. But before I go on with the show topic, I want to invite all of you to call in. This is also Ask Rebecca Anything, so you're welcome to call in. Area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. What a coincidence how the topic is holding grudges and the cold shoulder. But this is, but for my new listeners, let me just introduce myself. My name is Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist. What the heck? Who? Huh? Yes, exactly. My foundation, my agenda, my goals, my intention in every single moment is to experience more happiness. So what does that really, really mean, experience happiness? Happiness for me is being able to navigate, being able to live, be in this world, on this journey, with knowing that everything that happens is in order. Everything that doesn't happen is not supposed to happen. Everything that happens is supposed to happen. The universe has a divine plan, and I'm just here to enjoy the ride. Now, anytime I get little anxious or little irritated or little annoyed, possibly impatient, with any of that, all it means is that I have forgotten or disconnected at that moment. This week, like all weeks, like every single day, it was filled with things not happening that, quote unquote, were supposed to happen. Let me give you an example. I had an ad in the newspaper for a roommate. And, yeah, I said in the newspaper, didn't I say that? For a roommate. And everything was going swimmingly. I have this huge room that's available. I'm one person. I had a room available, and a nice young lady, 30 years old, came, looked at the place a couple of weeks ago, loved it. We've gone back and forth with details. And then yesterday I received the text, sorry, Rebecca, I am not going, I've changed my mind. Now, things happen all the time. Things happen, things change all the time. And if you want to experience more happiness and if you want to flow through this life, it really is about flowing without resisting anything and without thinking that there's anything wrong or without thinking that there's a problem. The bottom line is, this person was not supposed to be my roommate. If anything happens or anything doesn't happen that you think is supposed to, all it is the universe saying, no, that's not our plan. And when you get in, when you get in a habit and when you practice just saying, no, that's not a plan, that's not the universe's plan, you start realizing that what you have control over is only a few things. You have control over your perspective about what's going on. And that can change, and that's what I'm saying. My perspective is I wasn't supposed to have a roommate. When I missed the bus, I wasn't supposed to get on the bus. When I have this is another great one that's just happened this week, when my air conditioner goes out, and I mean out, needing a new one, guess what? That's what's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to experience a home that's 120 degrees. It's really about your attitude. It's really about your reaction. It's about how you choose to look at any situation. And it is your choice. We have free will to look at any situation, any experience, with either something's wrong or something's in order. Now, I have a few people in the queue, and I'm going to get to all of my callers. Hold on just a second. But I wanted to start with the topic of the day, which is holding grudges, the cold shoulder. And like I mentioned earlier, my father was the one to teach me how to stay angry, how to be an award-winning a person that can stay angry. Guinness Book of Records, how to stay angry, how to hold a grudge, how to give somebody the cold shoulder forever, for years if possible, for months, for weeks. So I have a question for you, my dear audience. I have a question. When you perceive that someone has done something wrong to you, unjust, bad, you name it, slighted you, maybe disrespect, oh, that's a really good one, I was disrespected, what specifically do you do? How do you respond? Well, when I was 20s, no, geez, let me go back, teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, I thought the right response, the perfect response was to not speak to someone, to get angry, to fold my arms, to not speak, the silent treatment, you name it, that's what I was taught, and I was the best. Listen, I was married for a few years, and trust me, we're really good friends now, trust me, my record of not speaking to my husband because I was mad or I was angry or I was holding a grudge. You want to know my record? 2 weeks living in the same house, and I didn't speak to this guy for 2 weeks. I'll never forget it because I was thinking to myself, wow, I wonder how long a week was nothing for me. But 2 weeks, a record of not speaking to somebody for 2 weeks? Now, I'm saying all this because, listen, even though I'm a happiness specialist and even though I think that I'm cheery and kind and there's no reason for people to get upset with me, there are people in my life, quite frankly, right now this week are upset and angry with me. I'll give you a perfect example. Coworkers. One of my coworkers, let's see, how do I describe? Okay, sometimes you have to shift offices, sometimes you have to move. And this woman really has nothing to do with me. The argument was not about me. I just happened to be there standing next to the two people where they're arguing. The coworker was arguing with an attorney, okay? And I took the attorney side. I said, well, yeah, I can see his point. I think he's right about this. And it all came about because of two chairs. Trust me, two chairs. Now, someone who had retired left, gave her these two chairs. one of my coworkers, gave her the two chairs. In other words, bequeathed the two chairs to her. Is that a word? You know what I mean. And the attorney had these chairs in his office. He was actually just kind of not storing them, but he was using the two chairs while this coworker was waiting to be moved to another spot. Well, when you work for an office, nobody owns the furniture. Nobody can bequeath chairs. Nobody can give chairs. Nobody can, you know, office equipment is assigned. Nobody has the right to any office equipment unless you purchased it yourself. So all I was saying, and I agreed with the attorney that said that, listen, well, nobody owns this office equipment. This office equipment is fair game for anybody that will sign up for it, anybody that is going to put it on the, in other words, you claim certain equipment. And because she didn't claim her chairs for, I don't know, maybe it was over a year and a half, even though she thought they were still hers, they weren't claimed. So the attorney picked them up. And I agreed with the attorney, this woman who I have known, who've talked to, I've shared vacation photos with, I know about her grandchildren, she knows about my son, let me see how many years, probably about 5 or 6 years, probably that long, maybe longer. Can you believe that now this woman doesn't speak to me? I have been in an elevator, and she has not gotten in an elevator because I'm in it. Every time, and I don't see her that often, but every time I do see her, and I didn't even know she wasn't speaking to me, and I called her name. I said, hi, how are you doing? Hi. And it was nothing, the cold shoulder. Now, I don't know if you've done any of that or do that, but what I'm offering is another choice to be. Because quite frankly, when you hold grudges and when you don't speak to people because you're angry or you're upset, there's a lot of things going on. One of the things is you, and let me get back to my callers. I have a lot of people in the queue. I'll get right back to you. Give me about 5 minutes, maybe less, audience. The reason is because you, and I'm speaking about myself. I'll tell you why I gave the silent treatment and didn't speak to people. It's all about manipulation. It's all about trying to control, trying to make the other person feel, quote, bad, trying to make the other person suffer. Well, let me tell you something. You, if you hold a grudge and you don't speak to someone who, number one, you care about or say you cared about, that just shows me that's something very clear. That shows me one thing. You don't really care about them in the first place. You never cared. When you love somebody, and I mean when you say you love somebody, I don't care what that person says or does, you cannot turn love on and off. Love doesn't have an on and off switch. So when you don't speak to them and when you are giving them the cold shoulder or the silent treatment and you do hold grudges, that tells me a lot about you and how you love. That tells me a lot about you and how you say you quote, care about someone else. See, it's never about the other person. It's never about what the other person does. It's all about you. And the other thing I want to say, which is really, really important, this energy that you're giving out, this energy that I used to give out, is that I'm not speaking to you until you come and grovel or until you apologize, until you do what I want you to do. I want you to do. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm cringing just thinking about my how I used to behave and how I used to be. You have to do what I'm saying. You have to do what I say. You have to come to me and say what I want to hear. The nerve, the gall. Not only that, what am I creating? I'm actually for the other person, it's nothing. This woman that doesn't speak to me, I think it's funny. And I also think that, wow, this is how she, this is how she is equipped to go through life, not knowing that she has choices. You don't have to not speak to somebody just because they don't agree with you. You don't have to not speak with somebody just because of what they've said. Even if what they've done is egregious, even if what they've done is huge, say they've stolen something from you, that energy of cold shoulder holding grudges only hurts you. Now, what does that mean if they've stolen from you? Does that mean you invite somebody in your house that you know that is a thief? No, but you don't. Listen, for me, I cannot hold a grudge. I cannot feel bad. I cannot send out this energy of rejection of something's wrong with them. I can't do it because in reality, what the universe is saying, there's something wrong with me. I'm the one. I'm the example. So I really wanted to show that, to share that, and also say Happy Father's Day to my father who taught me how to hold a grudge. Oof, I'm going to go to my first caller, area code 253. What is your first name? Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Hi.
Hi. Oh, I didn't think I was going to be first.
You are first. You are first. Are you ready?
Yeah. Do I ask a question or do I tell you about the same kind of things going on with me?
How about this? How about number one, you tell me your name?
Holly.
Holly. Hi, Holly. Have you called into the show
Hi.
Before?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. All right, that's good. So then we're fresh. Okay, so give me a question and then give me the background. What's your question?
Why is my biological mother teaching my stepchildren to hate me?
Oh, my God. What a great question. Why is your biological mother teaching your
stepchildren.
Your stepchildren?
Yeah, it's my ex-husband's biological that we had custody of for 8 years.
Okay.
And then we're through that, she interfered big time.
Okay.
And took the oldest one that's a daughter, and my ex let her. Taught the daughter not to speak to me ever again because I yelled at her one day. And now the ex-husband's quite mean, so I told him to move out, so he moved in with my mother and the two boys.
Now, so these are not your biological children?
No, I don't have any biological.
Are you living by yourself? Are you alone?
Yeah, I'm living by myself now.
And how does it feel living by yourself?
Quiet.
Mm.
Very quiet.
I'm asking you that because I live by myself also, and I just wanted to say that I love living by myself. I mean, I know I said a roommate, but I love, just because you have somebody in your house doesn't mean you have to talk to them.
Yeah, no, I like the quiet because it gives me time to, study. I'm very into all psychic things, and so I watch videos and study.
Okay, so let me start with some, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. Why does it bother you? Why do you care so much about whether somebody's going to speak to you or not?
Well, the thing that bothers me the most is my mother, what my mother did to her own child.
Was that you?
Yeah, my mother is the one that interfered, and now my ex-husband was with her, and the kids live with her.
Well, you said your mother, what she did to her own child. Are you talking about what she did to you?
Yeah, I'm her daughter.
Okay, well, I didn't know if it was her own child, so go ahead.
That's what bothers me more, the most. How can my mom do this to me? The betrayal, the backstabbing, the lying,
to
everything.
In other words, why is she? I call it just bad press, giving you bad press, correct?
Yeah, among other things, yeah. How
okay.
could you do that to your own child? That's what freaks me out.
Okay, well let me get you really down. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Since you haven't called in, one of the things that I love to do is let's just get down to the truth of the matter. Let's just get down to the truth. And the bottom line is, if I asked you about your mother and her upbringing, how she raised you, I don't think. Well, let me just ask you: were you raised with
mm-hmm.
a lot of love and compassion? And you know, were you?
Zero.
Okay, so see, I'm going to turn all this around. One of the things that I love to do, it's never about the other person. It's never about your mother. It's never about your ex-husband. It's never about the kids that don't talk to you. It's not about that. It's really about you. And how getting to another place. And how can you think? It's, in other words, there's a snake in the road, and I'm just using it as an analogy. There's a snake in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a snake there, and you're wondering, and you bring the snake in, and you're wondering, well, and then you get bit, and you're wondering, well, why did the snake bite me?
Yeah.
Because it's a snake. Now, I'm not saying your mother is a snake. I'm not even saying there's anything wrong with your mother. Okay, listen to this. There's nothing wrong. You've got to get to a point where you take the responsibility of your life from right now.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday happened yesterday. You are responsible for who you socialize with, who you let into your life as far as the energy, you know, compatible energy. You are
mm-hmm.
responsible for that. Now, this is going to sound really, really, really crazy. You ready?
Okay.
You ready? Come
yeah,
on, sweetie.
I'm sitting
Come
down.
On. You can do it. Good. Seatbelt on. Nothing that your mother did to you, nothing that your mother said to you was personal.
Okay.
Nothing. So
what
you're taking
it?
it's a person that is empty and broken and not happy, and that's how she listen. Let me ask you a question. What does the humpback man want more than anything else? The man with the hump in his back.
I guess to stand up straight. I don't know.
That's a good one. That's a good answer. But no.
What is it?
I want you to really listen. Really listen. What the humpback man wants more than anything else is for you to have a hump, too.
Okay.
When people are mean and vindictive and bitter, you want to label whatever you want. They're like they're hurt. They're hurt animals, like the smallest litter of the animal. They're hurt. They're hurt. Really bad. And the more they try to hurt others means the more they're hurting.
Okay. She must be hurting pretty bad.
Well, there you go. I'm not saying it's for you to have compassion and for you to say, oh, gee, I feel sorry for her. That's not why I'm saying it.
No.
I'm letting you know to say it so you recognize the truth.
Yeah.
And so, see, it's not really about you. It's about how she feels about that, how she feels about herself, how she feels about that person in the mirror, and that's why. She
okay.
must feel like crap.
I would imagine.
Well, there you go. Now, let's go back to, you said, why is she, you know, telling yourself, who cares, listen, if people are out of your life, there's a reason why they're out of your life, including stepchildren.
Yeah.
You can't control what anybody does or anybody else says. But this is what you're doing. You're so focused on these people, mother, stepchildren, husband, all of this, that you're really not taking care of, you're not looking in the mirror and doing what you need to do in your life.
Yeah.
It's really easy. I call it the blame game. It's really easy to blame other people. And yes, these people are jerks. These people, and listen, it's my show. These people are assholes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I can say it. I can say it. My show. But that doesn't mean that's their own journey and that's their own life. And you know, you really look at people that are like that and you have to say, wow, how can you live like that? But again, let's get back to you. And the focus is, now you see, you can choose to focus on them or you can choose to focus on my dear Holly.
Yeah.
Because you know how some people are addicts, you know, drug addicts, alcoholism, overeating, shopping, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but there's a pattern. So that's even true with people that focus on other people. It's like a distraction. Addicts use drugs for a distraction of reality of what's really going on. Some people use other people as a distraction. So it's time to it's really time to. Okay, that's who your mother is, and, you know, I don't know, you call her on Mother's Day or you don't call her on Mother's Day. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Do you invite these people? Do you invite this type of person? Is this compatible energy with you?
Not even.
Okay, so if it's not compatible energy, then it's up to you to compatible. Not that there's anything wrong with her, not that there's anything what she's doing. She's living out her destiny. The children are living out their destiny. Your ex-husband's living out his destiny. And you're living out yours. And there's people that are compatible energy with you, and there's people that aren't. And that's that.
Yeah.
What do you think about those apples? What?
I said I'm not much of a talker, so you have to help me out.
No. I just want to see, how does that feel to you? Does that feel like it's the truth?
Oh, yeah, all of it's the truth. The only one I really miss is the youngest stepson. But I can't keep calling and asking to see him because that's me staying in their life, right?
Well, it's not about you calling and asking him to see him. It's just... See, this world, this life unfolds when it's time. I love to use the analogy of, you know, you have a baby. Okay, you have a baby and the baby comes out. Baby can't talk, baby can't walk, baby can't even feed themselves. It's not time. And you don't stand over a baby and you start screaming, hey, hurry up and walk, hurry up and talk, hurry up and go to school. You just don't do that. You know that the baby, there's just time. And so I'm here to tell you that when it's time for you to have a relationship with the youngest, if at all, you'll have a relationship. But trying to force something just lets me know that you're not accepting reality.
Yeah.
When it's time. It will be time.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little story.
Okay.
And in fact, it's really interesting about it because it's Father's Day. My father-in-law, ex-father-in-law, died a couple years ago, I think it was. Yeah, I really lose track of time because I'm living in the present moment always, but at least a couple years ago. And he is an ex-father-in-law, and... my ex-husband and I, who knows, I don't know about all, but we had a rough patch of being exes probably for about 5 or 7 years with my son, meaning that we weren't speaking. We didn't have a relationship, period. But at the time, but then, you know, we patched everything up. We were friends. He's like my brother. And at the time when his father wasn't doing well, I went to see his father in the hospital. I spoke to him. I actually... he was laughing And the day, and he was laughing when I came. He loved watermelon. I brought him watermelon. It was a beautiful day, even though he was on his deathbed. Okay, he was on his deathbed.
Yeah.
The next day, the day after I visited, he died. My ex-father-in-law died. And, of course, funeral services are another week away. Well, my ex-husband has four siblings. Three siblings, a boy and two girls. Well, the oldest daughter, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Refused. I do not want her at the services.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Refused. Now, listen, you talk about hurt and shock, and how the hell can you not allow somebody to come to a funeral service?
Oh, I've had that happen to me for my own brothers. That's a whole other story.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. It's not about these people. And honestly, Holly, if I really wanted to go that bad, I could have shown up. If I really wanted to go, I could have gone. But the message is, and the story is, this person that did not want me to go to the funeral services, I'm not angry at her. I'm thinking about, wow, what kind of person, what kind of life, what are you holding on to that you're gonna say something like that? You can't be happy and refuse to have somebody go to a funeral service. Especially, listen, I could see if my ex-husband and I and we hadn't talked and we, you know, had a great relationship the last few years, and I went to see your father on the last day, brought him flowers, brought him this, and now I can't go. Again, it's not about it wasn't personal. It's about how she's feeling.
Yeah.
So let me go back to you. I have a few people that are actually in the queue, but some people don't want to talk on the air, which is fine. But let me go back to you. What do you need to do? You know, what are you? What is your focus in your life?
Well, now it's work and, you know, living.
Well, you need something more than just life and living. And living is fine, but what I'm saying is, what are your gifts? What can you share with somebody else? What can you share with somebody else about your life and your experiences that is going to bring someone else to a different level of understanding or sharing your life lessons?
I don't know. I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah. See, because what's going on, what I'm really feeling is there's no focus on you. And when I say there's no purpose, I don't mean there's no purpose to your life. I mean what we do and how we let me just talk about me. Just people learning from me or saying to me, wow, Rebecca, I've never thought about it like that before. Thank you for sharing, or not even thank you for sharing, but just being the example of another way to think or another perspective to choose, just being the example of other people. So how can you be the example for other people? And I mean people in the family or people as strangers. How can you, in other words, what are some of the things that you can look in the mirror and you're so proud of yourself that you would want to share?
Oh, I'm very giving, you know. I help people. Like, I'm an apartment manager and it's low income, and I get them furniture. I help them with stuff like that, you know.
Okay. So you're very generous.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. So how How can you teach other people how to be generous?
Well, I just tell them to pay it forward, you know.
Well, see, that's the message that need that do you now? Do you share that message with people every day?
I don't know about every day, but yeah.
See, it's about who you are, your gifts, who you are as an individual, as a special entity, and what you can share with the world. And if you concentrate it on what you can share with the world, how to make, you know, and when you change it and what you can share with the world, and, okay, what I've learned from my mother is she's this person, and I learned not to take any of that personally. You can share that with the world. And that
yeah.
you have a relationship with somebody, and now you don't have a relationship, but you can share with the world that it's not time to have a relationship. Everything is in perfect
yeah.
order. You can share that. So when you're busy sharing your wisdom, guess what? You don't have time to think about what anybody else is doing or saying.
Yeah. I am to the point where I don't care. You know, I'm just so tired of it. It's been 8 years.
Well, I'm going to be very honest. I don't believe you don't care. Because if you didn't care, you wouldn't make this phone call.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to talk about her, but when that was the topic, I thought, well, that'd be great to ask.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could feel you when you said, "How could she do this to her own daughter?" That doesn't come from somebody that doesn't care. That comes from somebody.
I'm still in shock. Yeah.
Well, why are you in shock when she's been like that with you all of your life?
I don't know. I just keep thinking she'll get better or something.
No, see, it's not about her getting better. It's about you getting better.
Yeah. She did it to my sister, too. I guess I shouldn't be too shocked.
It's still about you.
Yeah.
It's really about you, and you're gonna keep thinking about her, and coming up with, you know, why, and being shocked and all of this quote ugliness, but every time you think about her, you know that it's just a distraction from you doing what you are gifted to do on this planet. It's just a distraction.
Yeah. Okay. Just clicking in.
Yeah. And you've got to go deep. You stay on the surface a lot. You're on the surface, but you really have to go deep.
Okay.
Well, I bet this is this everything that you at that you want that you were thinking that you would get?
No, not at all.
Exactly. But it's the truth. So this is really about you. And anytime you focus on anybody else, or even, let me say something, even talking about your mother to anybody else, that's just perpetuating it. That's just adding, that's just keeping you in that circle, in that cycle.
Yeah.
There's no reason to talk about her at all.
That's true.
And listen, let me just say this. It doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to
yeah.
change habits. You're not going to change directions overnight. But this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to ask the universe, how, because every time you ask, you get an answer, how do I make a shift? How do I focus on me? How do I express my gifts to others? How do I share with other people what I've learned? Ask all those questions. And
yeah.
don't even try to figure out to get the answer. You'll get the answer, and you will start, and everything will start shifting. Very slowly, but it'll shift. But that's what I want you to do every single day, is ask the universe how,
okay.
how. Okay?
I can do that, yeah. because you're going to get some more callers. So I don't want to take up a lot of time.
Yes. Okay, sweetie. Okay. Write down those questions. What are your questions that you're going to ask every day?
Okay.
What
say
are
them
they?
Again.
See?
How
you see what I
again?
Mean? Yeah, see, that is, what's really interesting about you is you really, at this point right now, it's just staying on the surface, and it's like there's a time for things, for people to make the shift, and then sometimes it's not, and hold on a second, I have to cough. Oh, excuse me. And sometimes you're not ready. You're not ready to make a shift.
Okay.
Sometimes we're so invested into, it's called what I call it, being addicted to the drama. Because drama,
uh-huh.
having drama in your life is an addiction.
Yeah.
Questions are, how do I make a shift? How do I focus on me and my gifts?
Okay.
How do I share with other people my wisdom? How do I become more of me? You come up with your questions, but that's like a little starter.
Okay.
But every day.
Okay, I wrote them down this time.
Okay, all right.
Thank you again.
You're welcome, sweetie. Call me anytime, and remember, it's not personal.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh huh.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, well, let's see. There's some people that just hung up. Well, whatever, doesn't matter. Ooh-wee, what a great, great show. See, that's another thing. Getting attached to people calling, not calling, wanting to hear the truth, not wanting to hear the truth, wanting to hear my answers, not wanting to hear my answers. It's all good. It's all good. Fathers. I want to share with you. Let me see if I can get this out in time. I want to share with you. It just happens to be in my first edition of Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. I wrote a whole chapter about my dad and a whole chapter about what he taught me. And really, the chapter is entitled Death and Happiness. When my father died in 2008, it was a really interesting time. I was disinherited. Yes, my mother disinherited me. And going to the funeral with my mother not speaking to me was really interesting. Now, I have a few people in the queue. If you'd like to speak with me, just press 1. The number here to call in is 646-564-9619. And if no one wants to, I have a few people in the queue, but nobody wants to speak, which is fine. But it's death and happiness. Now, is it possible to be happy at the same time? When I say happy, I mean to be at peace the same time when you have a parent or a loved one that has died, a parent. And the answer is, the question is, be at peace. And I have to say that the day that I buried my father, it's going to sound really, who knows how it's going to sound, but the day I buried my father was one of the most beautiful, fulfilling, enriching, enlightening, inspiring days of my life. And it's in the book, Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, but I'm going to share with you, and you can get that on Amazon and or Lulu. Or if you send me an email at info@RebeccaNorrington.com, I will sign and make an audit. I will sign a copy for you and ship it to you for free. But let me just give you a little bit of insight here. My father taught me a lot of lessons when I was growing up. But the last 5 years of his life was spent, he had hydrocephalitis, which is an illness that kind of parallels Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's patients forget who you are. My father never forgot who I was, never forgot I was his daughter, never forgot my face. And it's, and when he, but what this illness did was he wasn't really able to take care of himself. He forgot, you know, he forgot last week. He forgot where he lived. He would could get lost. A lot of things. He never forgot his name or his birth date, but a lot of things. So he the last years he was in adult daycare center, and finally we put him in a residential area, you know, to live. And then before that he was in hospice for a year and a half. Believe me, in hospice he was down to the last. The doctor said he wouldn't live two more weeks. He was down to 114 pounds. We put him in hospice. And in hospice, because he had so much stimulation and so much social interaction, my father was kicked out of hospice. And I don't know if anybody, I don't know if anyone is kicked out of hospice, but he was, Ralph Norrington was kicked out. And he lived another year and a half before he finally died. Now, the last few years of his life, of course, he was declining in mental capacity. But I have to share with you that his decline had nothing to do with how much I enjoyed his company. My father, in his last few years, dropped, let go of, was not able to make any judgments. My father was not able to protect his heart. You know, when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of physical, I love you, holding hand, kiss me, you're the greatest. I got a lot of criticism. Yeah, I mean, I could fill a whole book up with all the criticisms that I received. So there wasn't a lot of acceptance. There wasn't a lot of praise. That's the word, a lot of praise. Let me say outwardly. But there wasn't a lot of outwardly praise. There wasn't a lot of verbal praise. But I can tell you that in the last states of my father's life, he thought so highly of me. And it was like, you think this highly of me? He would always tell me I was smart. I was just a lot of compliments toward the end of his life. And I'll never forget it. And the universe told me that this is how he's always thought about you. He was just never able to express it. Call it generational. You know, sometimes the people in different generations, they're not able to say, I love you. For whatever reason, he was not able to express it. And toward the end of his life, oh my God, that's all I got was this expression of love and acceptance. So my father, toward the end of his life, I'm going to just look in my book because I'm not remembering everything right now, what he taught me toward the end of his life when he had this quote-unquote illness. One of his lessons was that complaining is a choice. My father did not have the ability to complain when the last few years of his life. He couldn't. He just didn't complain. Complaining is a choice. The other thing my father taught me is that laughter is the best medicine. I don't care what you're going through. Let me just say this. I don't care what I'm going through, how I'm feeling. I practice looking at the situation and trying to find something to lighten up and laugh about. The other lesson my father taught me is that singing out loud is always appropriate. My father loved to sing when I was younger, and singing out loud is always appropriate. I don't care where you are, what you're doing, for me, singing out loud is appropriate. The other thing is my father, when he was younger, what he coveted, what he loved, what he his goal for every day of his life was how to make more money. How to make more money. It was always about the money. And toward the end of his life, money was the furthest thing from him. Money was the furthest thought. He could care less about money or how much money he had. What my father taught me and what I learned on the last day, on the day of his service, on the day that I buried him, my mother and I buried him, my family buried him, was that now I could be the example. I could be the example of how to respond, how to react, how to show my son, who is 30 years old, a different reaction than from the norm of how we react when a parent dies. Listen, everybody's different, but my father gave me a choice. And on that day when I sat with my son, an hour after I buried my father on the beach, I sat with my son on the beach, Playa del Rey in California, and my son asked me, he says, "Mom, how are you feeling? How are you really feeling now that Gramps is gone?" And I could feel my father's presence. I could feel his energy. And my father was a jokester, always joking, tell you a joke, laughing, smiling. I looked at my son and I said, "Gramps is dead?" On the day I buried my father, I was able to laugh. I was able to smile. I was able to be light and fun with my son. And that's only because of what my father taught me. And that's only because of who he was. So I want to say for everybody that's out there, from the beginning of the show, which I told you about my father teaching me how to hold grudges and teaching me how to give somebody the cold shoulder forever, for years and decades. I believe he didn't speak to his brother. My father didn't speak to his only brother for years over money or over a business deal. So trust me when I say I learned from the best. But at the end of his life, my father taught me how to let go of any kind of anger or any kind of resentment or any kind of holding grudges or any kind of cold shoulders. You know, I could go into my father's room and call him 100 different names. This is his mental state. And I could call him 100 different names, I mean, you know, out of his names that aren't nice. And guess what? An hour I would go back into his room and he wouldn't remember what I said. And he would just be kind of just like animals. You know, you can hit an animal. Listen, that's a really bad example. But just being open and forgiving. And he didn't even, my father didn't even have, he didn't even know that he was forgiving. It was just who he was. Every time I walked into the room, it was a new moment. Every time I walked into the room. So my message, my what I would like to share with you, who doesn't matter what anybody's done, doesn't matter what anybody said, what I would like to share is every moment you experience someone, treat it as a new moment. It's not about what they did yesterday. It's not about what they did last week. It's not about what they said. Treat it as a new moment, fresh, new moment. Why? Is it for them? No. It's for you. It's for you to experience more peace, more happiness in your own life. You don't hold grudges, not for the other person. You do it for you. You want to be happier? Listen, everybody that I ask, they say, "Yeah, I want to be happier." Then don't hold grudges. And especially, listen, not especially, but people that you say you love and you're holding a grudge, listen, my left hand is up. I'm guilty of that. not anymore. You never know when that last moment is going to be. Get over yourself and start new. Rejoice quickly and recover quickly. What a great show. Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you so much for listening. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com, RebeccaNorrington.com. Go to Facebook and like my Facebook page, Reality Spirituality. Thank you in advance. And also follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You are the universe. You're always growing. You're always changing, always evolving. Be patient and be kind. Be your own best friend. Don't hold grudges because you are the one getting hurt. It's like shooting yourself in the foot. My favorite quote from Abraham is, "You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey." It is about the journey. It's moment by moment, and every moment you have a choice. Thank you so much for listening to Reality Spirituality. I will talk to you again next week. Love you all. Thank you.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good now.
Get real good.
Now,
that's
what I'm saying.